we get it underway, though, by welcoming back to the program and the studio our friend Sean Latch from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Happy New Year to you. Welcome.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Hard to believe that we're in 2024.
A big year for you, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's find out what's going on here. First of all, at the center in the month of January, you've got a brand new show kicking off this Friday night.
Yeah, we figured we would, you know, start the year off trying to warm folks up. Since January is a very cold month of the year, and last month we had a show about the Arctic, we decided to run Expedition Reef this month, which is a program that takes a look at coral reefs in the environment. So we'll take you to a nice, warm, tropical environment if it's snowy and cold outside. Though I must say, we haven't had too much of that so far this winter. But so that's our Friday night public show. We'll also take a little bit of a look in that program about how the University of Maine is connected to coral reef research, both in the Gulf of Maine, but also in the wider global arena, you might say. And then our children's program is a favorite, Magic Treehouse Space Mission. Of course, this is one of the big family favorites. I tell folks always to book early because this show often sells out, because it's just one of those that kids love. Of course, you join Jack and Annie and ramble on through the universe trying to discover answers to a whole variety of questions, and it's a really fun program for the, you know, for the whole family, and encourages kids to read. And that's one thing I'm very much about. I always tell students, you know, that if you want to learn anything, whether it be about horses, stars, boats, whatever it is, you know, kitty cats, read. That's really the best way to learn anything. So I love the fact that the book encourages, you know, students to read and read on things they're interested in. U2 Returns is our music show. It's been a while since we've done that one. But of course, that is a mega super band. Everything from, you know, Mysterious Ways to, you know, The Streets Have No Name to Bloody Sunday, which seems a little bit appropriate for our times, unfortunately, currently with all the things going on. But of course, U2, a really wonderful band set to some really stunning visuals. And so that's kind of our programming lineup for January. And we're starting to of course, really ramp up for the total solar eclipse coming up and everything. I am curious, though. Did you guys feel warm on Tuesday? Did you feel a little bit warmer?
Well, I rarely feel cold.
So yeah. Well, I'm just curious if you did. So Tuesday was the perihelion, our closest approach to the sun. And so it's one of those things I often talk about is, you know, that, you know, a lot of folks will think because we have an elliptical orbit that if we're close to the sun, we're going to be warm, and if we're far away, but that has nothing to do with our seasonal temperatures. It's all about the tilt. So, of course, we were at our closest approach to the sun back on Tuesday, which is also known as perihelion. We'll be our farthest point in July, around July 1st, which is aphelion. So, and the difference is roughly about 2 million miles. So it is, you know, it's not huge when you consider 93 million average, you know, distance from the sun, but it is, you know, a little bit significant.
I got a little burn.
There you go. Sunburn, right? Yeah.
Also, a meteor shower that hopefully we'll be able to see some of tonight, maybe?
Yeah, the Quantrandid shower is sort of one that's towards the area of the Big Dipper. It's a, you know, typically it does really nice display of meteors in early January and usually the first week of January, and we're pretty good in terms of moon phase right now. So yeah, if it's clear over the next couple nights, get out and take a peek towards the north and you might see a few.
And as far as planets go, in the morning, Mercury and Venus?
Mercury and Venus in our morning sky right now. Mars is still behind the sun. And we have Jupiter and Saturn, though Saturn is rapidly fading into sunset, and probably by the end of the month, we'll sort of have lost that into the glow, but we'll still have Jupiter around for evening stargazing for a while yet. And also by the end of the month, Venus will be getting closer and closer to the sun. We'll probably lose that into the glow of sunset mid-February, and then it'll pop back up in the evening sky later on this year.
Sean Latch with us from Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium. Well, the countdown is on. We're just a little more than 3 months away from the big event. So where is the planning right now? What stage are you at?
Like a chicken with my head cut. No, not quite that bad. But yeah, the planning is going quite well. So the University of Maine and our team from the planetarium is going to be in Jackman, Maine. We'll be observing from their town office parking lot outside. We've talked to them and arranged that. The plan is to do public stargazing Sunday evening, which is the 7th, the day before the eclipse, weather permitting, of course. And then on the day of the eclipse, we'll set up around noon, and the eclipse starts around 2:20. totality is about roughly 3:30 in the afternoon, and it will finish around 4:40. But that's where we're going to be. Jackman is right on the center line. It's probably the best place in the state for the eclipse viewing. I know Holton is doing a big event as well, and you know there are a few other places too. But as I tell folks, you don't want to stay here in Bangor or Orono or Old Town or Veezy or Portland or, you know, Augusta. Basically, the main populous area of the state is only going to get a partial. And it is so dramatic, the difference between a total and a partial. Again, because it's only during a total solar eclipse that you can see the corona, the atmosphere of the sun. That's the only time it's safe to look at it with your unaided eye. And it's really an exceptional thing. I mean, the color of the sky, it's not completely dark. It's twilighty. But you get brighter stars and planets. The temperature drops a few degrees. Birds and animals pay attention. It is just one of the most spectacular things in all of nature. And we haven't had one here in the States since 63. We won't get another one till 2079. So again, unless, you know, they put my head in a jar like the Futurama thing, I won't be around for that one. So I highly encourage people to try and make it to someplace in Maine to see this. Now, April, the weather prospects, it's, you know, it is what it is, you know, but it's worth taking a chance, because if it does work out, it's going to be spectacular. Worst case scenario, it doesn't work out. You'll notice the sky at least getting a bit darker, particularly from the areas of totality, because again, that's really where you want to be. But the partial phases will be visible, you know, again, through the rest of the state. But there you'll have to use eclipse glasses for the entire thing, and you won't get to see the corona, and you're not going to see, you know, the stars or any of the brighter planets come out like you do during totality. So, but yeah, the planning is going well. We're bringing in, we have three different eclipse programs, and we're going to be kicking those off in March. We're going to have a couple of eclipse Saturdays, the last Saturday of March, which is the 30th, and the first Saturday of April, which is the 6th. We're going to be doing all day programming. And so we have lots of, you know, lots of special programs on the eclipse. So three different ones that you can see for all age groups. Also, we're one of the state suppliers of eclipse glasses. We have about 10,000 in stock, and we'll get more if we need them. And those have been moving, and we have them available for special prices for teachers if they want to get class sets.
Now, my son got some of those for Christmas from a relative. How do you know if they're legitimate?
Usually, most of the legitimate ones inside, I would say they're made by one of two companies. Rainbow Optics is one, and then there's another one, which is American Paper, I think it's American Paper Optics. Those two are the reputable brands. Typically, it will say inside, and they'll actually have safety instructions inside the glasses. So that's usually the case. And most of the time, the solar filter glasses are, you know, are really good. I do tell folks that if you've had some, like some folks will say, oh, I kept mine from 2017. It's okay. But, you know, again, unless you've kept them in really good shape, you know, if you've rubbed the lenses or done anything like that, it's good to replace them. I mean, they're cheap. They're, you know, $2 a pair. Like I say, we have class sets available to teachers for $1 a set if you get 25 or more for, you know, to make them available, because we really want students to get out and see this really special event.
And if people head up north, is it better off? What's the advantage of them going to something organized like what you're doing up in Jackman, rather than just pulling over to the side of the road and gazing up at the skies?
I think it's really up to you know, to people to choose what they want to do. I'm not going to say you have to go to an organized event. The key thing I would tell folks is that just remember that eclipse timings are to the second, and they vary. So for instance, the time that the eclipse starts in Jackman is going to be different from Patton, is going to be different from Holton, is going to be different from, you know, Lincoln, which does get it, but it's only in the edge, so you only get a few seconds of totality there. So the timings are very important. So if you, wherever you decide to go, if you're not with someone organized, because normally at an organized event, you're going to hear a countdown to totality, which lets you know when it's safe to take off those glasses and look, and then you're probably going to hear 10, 9, 8, you know, before the end of the eclipse. That's the countdown to the eclipse finishing as well. So, having with an organized group that has someone to do that, that helps you in terms of your safety a little bit.
Right.
Which is the key thing. And like I say, the timings do vary. Now, there's a number of websites you can get that timing on. You can go to, you know, if you go to our page, we have some links, but there's NASA's eclipse page, of course, and there's also the Great American Eclipse. Both of those will have, you can look up particular cities or, you know, towns and get the timings for it. But you really want to be careful in terms of the timing.
Right.
You should never look at the sun with your unaided eye for any length of time. Doesn't matter if it's eclipse day or any other day, because it will burn the retina, and your retina doesn't have pain receptors, so it will do, you know, do damage. That's why we really want people to focus on safety. And you can use indirect methods too. There's projection methods, but the key thing is being safe with it. Lots of planning things going on. We've got, you know, we've done some teacher workshops. We have a couple more coming up with the Maine Math and Science Alliance, doing some events with the Bangor Public Library and the Orono Public Library, some presentations for them. So, yeah, it's really sort of ramping up, you might say, as we go forward. And I know that, things are going to be kind of crazy between now and early April, to say the least.
Well, we look forward to hearing more as we get closer. We'll steal you away from the university for a few minutes.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
See you next month. Sean Latch, Versant Power Astronomy Center, the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. It's 15 after 4 o'clock here on a Wednesday afternoon. I thought it was Tuesday all day. The Monday holiday gets me every time. When we come back, we'll talk with Betsy Lundy and find out what's going on in downtown Bangor. Up first, your weather forecast. That's brought to you by Black's Heat Pumps, the people to call for installation, maintenance, and repair of many split heat pumps. Online at blacksheatpumps.com or call 631-0558. Black's Heat Pumps, sales and service from people you can trust.